You may kill me, but you may never insult me. Who am I? Captain Jack Sparrow.
Get the truth about movies on the movie show.
If he were telling the truth, he wouldn't have told us.
Tell them, Sparrow.
Unless, of course, he knew you wouldn't believe the truth, even if he told it to you.
Mm-hmm. Hello?
Joey, it's Ross. I need some help.
Help has come your way because you are listening to the movie show.
What is up?
Hey guys out there, what's happening?
This is the movie show
on your favorite
radio station / podcasting service. I'm Sash.
And my name is Ryan.
And Ryan, isn't it just romantic?
So wonderful.
Like, can you hear the birds chirping?
Sunny day.
Can you see the rainbow shining for no apparent reason at all?
Flowers green everywhere. Perfect world.
Can you hear the music as people sing a song that no one practiced and no one choreographed, but everyone knows the dance moves and everyone knows the words perfectly?
And the sound of the woman tripping over the cornerstone and falling into her lover's arms.
And looking into his eyes, and suddenly it starts raining.
Oh.
And it's just so perfect. Wow.
It's not romantic. It's absolutely horrifying.
That, ladies and gentlemen, is what we call, or what we know as, a rom-com. Yeah.
Yeah. Anything with rom is not
rom.
Very calm.
So we promised we'd do this movie last week. So last week we reviewed The Lost City, and then we... At the end, I remembered this film, so we were like, okay, cool, we'll do it. And can I just say, like I asked Ryan before the show, this movie, Isn't It Romantic, is way better than The Lost City.
Way better.
Like 1,000 times better than The Lost City.
Enjoyed it, loved it, laughed at it, felt good, went to bed with a big smile on my face.
Right? And Ryan hates romantic comedies. Well, Ryan hates romance.
But wait, but this is not a romantic film.
No, this is the funny part. So, I was watching an interview with Rebel Wilson, who's the main female actor, and she actually said it's a romantic comedy and an anti-romantic comedy at the same time, literally. So it like works for people who love romantic comedies, and it also works for people who hate romantic comedies. Except, honestly, in my opinion, I think it works more for people who hate romantic comedies. The reason I'm saying that is I remember I hadn't seen this film. And the one day we were browsing on Netflix and I happened to come across this film and I was like, why don't we watch this? And my sister, who loves romantic comedies, was like, no, I've watched this movie. It's stupid. So I was like, no, come on, let's give it a try. And we ended up playing it and I was finished. I was crying from laughter because it rips romantic comedies to shreds, but it's so funny.
Sashi told me, watch this movie. It's brilliant.
Yeah, literally. Mm. And then I think what happened was she didn't realize it was ripping romantic comedies off.
Yeah.
So for her, she was like almost offended by it. So I think that's why for people who like romantic comedies, it's more ripping off what you like. So if you've got that wicked sense of humor and you're like, but it still works for both people though, because it does have the romantic comedy element to it. Because you get stuck in a romantic comedy.
I won't spoil the end.
Yeah.
The romantic part of the end.
Yeah, I know.
But what I will say is that what I loved about this film, because you know I like the unpredictable.
Yeah.
Is that it was extremely unpredictable.
It was unpredictable.
Yeah.
Even though it's like ripping off romantic comedies and in itself is sort of a romantic comedy.
It felt like it was moving in one direction. And then at the end it's like, no.
You're like, wow.
Like she gets to the entrance of the city where she was traveling all this time. And then she gets there and she's like, actually, I don't want to come to the city. And then she makes a U-turn and then drives back again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The crazy thing is this film came out in 2019. This was a pre-pandemic film.
Wow.
I know. And I only watched it. Was it last year? I think it was last year. It was either last year or early this year.
Serious, eh?
Might have been early this year. I hadn't seen it before. I'd seen the trailer when I think it first came out. I think I did see the trailer, but it looked like it just looked like one of those romantic comedy films type
Boy
of
meets
thing.
Girl.
Yeah. So I wasn't like that interested and then ended up watching it and thoroughly enjoyed it. Like honestly, and the nice thing about it is they kept it PG, which was a funny part of the film because they used it. So like if someone swore, there'd always be, whether it was a truck that was reversing or like a car hooting or some sound, like beep sound would be made to cover up the swear word, which was, that was hysterical.
Yeah.
And then also, obviously, because it's a PG film, they don't go far in terms of like, two people getting intimate, but she's trying
and
to
even
get
that
intimate.
That part was hilarious.
And kept just like looping back to the morning after, and she's like, "No, no."
It's kind of like breaking the fourth wall type of thing.
Yes,
because you're like, okay, this is the way romantic films should be, which is the whole ripoff of the film. Yeah.
It also has a very good cast. So Rebel Wilson is the main. What's the person? The name main character in the film. And then you have Adam Devine. Yes, his name is Adam Devine. He's very good. Do you know the funny thing is he often acts in romantic comedies.
Really?
Like I saw him in another film where it was sort of the same. It was about him and how he became best friends with a girl that he's actually in love with. And he then goes into like alternate versions of his life where they didn't become best friends. And he keeps trying to get with her as not a best friend, as like a partner. And then in the end, he actually ends up getting with a girl that's better suited to him and all of that. But
I've never seen him before, but he definitely...
Pitch Perfect. He was in Pitch Perfect.
Oh, really?
Him and Rebel Wilson still get romantically involved in Pitch Perfect.
So it's not their first film together.
No. In fact, this is the funny part. So when he agreed to do this film... He actually said that they've now become like essentially Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling. Cause remember there was a stage where Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling were always acting as love interest in films.
Right.
Like it was always the two of them. And additionally, Adam has also stated that Rebel is his work wife because previously they played love interest in Workaholics 2011, Pitch Perfect 2012 and Pitch Perfect 2 in 2015. Yeah.
Wow.
And then we have Liam Hemsworth. Which was quite interesting because he had his Australian accent.
That was funny.
It was, right? And Rebel actually said, she literally said this in an interview, generally hot guys aren't funny. And she's like, she didn't think he'd be funny because he's hot and yet he was funny.
Oh, really?
She's like, the only thing she said is he couldn't dance.
But it didn't sound like a natural Australian voice.
I think he sounded like a very cheesy type of Australian. Yeah. So, like, he used his accent, but you know how, like, we can, with the South African, there's different accents, you can, like, put it on.
You
emphasize the accents. I think he did do that.
In the Marvel movie, what Andy Serkis did with Australian. So, I mean, the South African accent, that's what we found funny.
Yeah.
So I guess he sort of did the same thing with the Australian accent. You know, it was almost that, like, hey, let's put another... Riff on the Barbie, you know. Just
what was the one word he kept saying over and over and over again to her? There was that one word, and then she still says it to him at the end.
Go something, go.
Oh man. But I think this was the first film he's ever actually done in Australian. Well, not done, because he is Australian, but he's kept his accent. In all other films he's been in, he normally does American. Whereas Rebel Wilson, actually, she's known for her Australian accent. And I don't think she's ever actually done a film without her accent.
Really?
I think she's always been... I think it just... You know how some actors just, like, they come with that, like, package deal? Like,
it's funny.
The funny Australian.
I thought the other way around. And then my wife reminded me that, no. In the other movies where I think Pitch Perfect...
Yeah, she's Australian as well.
Also, and I was like, Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. This was also the first film that Rebel Wilson's produced as well. So she not only acted in it, she also produced it.
That means she's hitting it quite well in the movie industry, yeah.
Definitely. And then we also have Priyanka Chopra, who basically played herself. She's a Bollywood actress.
Oh, what?
Yes, she's
actually
she's married to Nick Jonas. There's like a whole weird love thing that went on because Liam Hemsworth was married to Miley Cyrus at the time. And
Liam Hemsworth was married
to Miley Cyrus when this film came
out. I heard that. Okay, cool.
And then she dated Nick Jonas. And then apparently Adam Devine is with a chick that played Nick Jonas's love interest in Camp Rock. And so it's like they all somehow
have dated together.
Yeah.
There's a conspiracy going on here.
There we go. So... I think he was the other producer of the film. His name is Todd Strauss, Schlusen. That is his name. He apparently watched over 90 romantic comedies over 2 weeks and noted the similar visual and narrative tropes among them, including New York City. So like most romantic comedies are set in New York City. Starbucks coffee. They always have Starbucks coffee. Rain falling when couple kiss. Half moon windows and bubble baths.
And a lot of the shots as well.
Yes.
Like they have these like high, yes, sort of high to down crane shots.
Yeah. But can I be honest? The way they ripped off romantic comedies by making it so romantic comedy like was brilliant. Like you can see that they went to so much detail to like, even there was often nods to like Pretty Woman. There were nods to 13 going on 30. Like they were even in the way they did costume design. Like when Rebel Wilson wears the red dress, in Pretty Woman, Julia Roberts actually wore a red dress like that to the opera in that film.
Yeah. And I think when she went into a whole like whatever romantic movie, that white dress with the, and that was supposed,
yes, in the Lost and Found.
And that was supposed to be Lost and Found. I was just
with
like
the hat and gloves. For me, it, yes, was the petals. You know, he wrote his number down in the petal, and then she gets arrested, and of course, she only has the petals, and then she drops them, and they magically fall into, yes, his, yeah.
And love just makes the way that,
yeah, no,
makes the impossible possible. You see.
It was so dramatic, that's what it though. Is. This is Rebel Wilson's first lead role in a film. So generally, she plays like supporting actress.
Really?
Or, yeah. Okay. Like generally, like in Pitch Perfect, she wasn't the lead. And then even there was a movie I watched where she was a con artist with Anne Hathaway.
I watched that one.
That was good.
So the other woman was obviously then the lead.
I feel like they both were leads. Like, you know how sometimes in films, yeah, you get like a double lead where like both characters are just as important as the other.
Yeah.
Whereas in this, she was the lead role. Like it was, the story
centered
was about
her.
Yeah. Yeah. So they also had musical numbers. Of course, you cannot have a romantic comedy without musical numbers in the film. It wasn't a musical. They just said like musical numbers. But apparently rehearsing the musical numbers, according to Rebel Wilson, came very easy to her and Adam Devine, because in their previous film, Pitch Perfect, they were required to attend a boot camp in which the music and choreography was taught to them prior to filming. That experience prepared them both for learning two musical numbers in a short period. Obviously, Priyanka Chopra's in Bollywood, and they literally do have musical numbers. Like,
all the time.
Yeah. They said the person who was the worst dancer was Liam Hemsworth, but he was able to pull it off. With but apparently, they would tease him about it, like on set, because he was officially the worst dancer there. He was the most good-looking, but the worst dancer. So.
And there's a good scene in this film at the end.
Yes.
Where they're all dancing.
Yes. Apparently, they only put that in because of how test audiences reacted. So then they decided to end the film with a big musical number, which was brilliant because it was hysterical.
Test audiences.
Test audiences, yeah. What's they even do it with like Finding Nemo and that. They'll have a cut of the film that they show to a test audience, and then the audience will basically give feedback on how it felt. So they even like ended up changing, like I remember Finding Nemo, they changed quite a bit in how the story was
from
told.
From the test audiences.
From the test audiences, yeah.
That's
so
interesting.
That's why they had the musical number.
So much work that goes into making a film that we don't see.
Right?
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy. And then during the scene outside the police precinct, so obviously she gets arrested, and then she calls Liam Hemsworth's character, and then he saves her and bails her out. The building used for exterior shots in Friends, you know, the sitcom Friends?
Yeah.
That apartment building, so the building that was used for the exterior shot, you know how in sitcoms they always show the exterior shot of the building and then go into the set? So that building was apparently visible in the background. I didn't see it, but if you go and look for it, you can see the building that was used as the exterior of the Friends building.
Specifically when she got arrested.
Yeah. In that shot, you can see it. And then also, this is the first film that I did state that Rebel Wilson has produced. As a result, she helped with the casting process and stated that she actually always envisioned Liam Hemsworth, Adam Devine, and Priyanka Chopra Jones for the roles. And honestly, it was casted perfectly. Like what they wanted to achieve in the film was like perfect. Even when, you know, she had, Rebel Wilson had the assistant that was like her best friend that she allowed to watch romantic comedies while she worked. And then when she went into the romantic comedy world, suddenly that assistant was now like her arch enemy in the workplace. Cause you know, in romantic comedies, there's always the two chicks that hate each other in the workplace. Yeah. Like even the way they switched that around, and like the costume design was also brilliant. And the way they differentiated the real world with the romantic comedy world was really clever. I know in the real world, the colors were a lot more like gray and like reality. Like this is, even like New York was so dirty. Shame. She like lived in like a bad area. Like life was just, and then when she went into the romantic comedy world, suddenly they like saturated everything. Yeah. And there were flowers everywhere and New York didn't stink anymore. It smelled like, what did she say? Lavender. Yeah. Like that was funny. When she came back to the real world, she was like, New York stinks again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I have a really bad apartment again. Yay. She was like so happy. I'm like, right?
And the dog never died when she shot it. Clay died. Yeah. So also the normal world consisted of very grey tones and a minimal score even to contrast the hyper-realism found amongst the rom-com world. And it features over 120 allusions to romantic comedies. In other words, there's over 120 times where they're like,
stuff happens that only happens in...
Yes, and that they got from other romantic comedies. So it's almost like a nod back to specific films. And they did this through the costumes. So like I said, there was costumes from like Pretty Woman and that white with the gloves and all of that, to like themes, so music themes, and then also dialogue. They actually brought in actual dialogue from romantic comedies.
Can you imagine going, watching so many romantic movies, picking up, because he probably picked out pieces that they were like, that's great. I got to have that.
And also like, that's also in this film. That's also in this film. Like, you and know, things they always bring in.
Imagine trying to piece it together to make it work. So say, we can't use that one yet. So in other words, working out the flow of the movie and which pieces you're going to put in, you know, I'm sure there were a lot of pieces. And then they sort of had to look at the storyline and fit them in. And then I wonder how many pieces there were that they were like, okay, we can't do it. It doesn't make sense, you know, type of thing.
But honestly, the way they did it, they did it so well.
They did.
Because for me, this is romantic comedy in a genre. Like they, if you ever have achieved what that genre is, like stands for, this film did that.
And it wasn't like a cheesy ripoff.
No.
It was actually a very quality ripoff.
It was like you felt like you were watching, like, you know, you get ripoff movies which the quality is bad and it's it's stupid, and
it wasn't
half the time
lines.
You're like, that wasn't even funny. Like you know when people are trying to be funny and it's not funny. This wasn't
in
this
film. It was good.
Also, so the Todd Strauss, I think he's a producer. I don't think he was the director. He might have been the director though, I don't know. But he also stated that the idea of the film derived from analyzing the way love stories are portrayed in the media. And he actually asked, are they helpful or are they hurtful? Does it lead to more isolation? This idea that you aren't whole until someone comes to save you, which was a very big theme in the film. And I actually think it was a nice theme because, like, I think most romantic comedies or even films in general just put out a message on people that, like, can affect people's identity.
The guy and the girl thing.
Yeah. Mm. And then according to the credits, Natalie is a 12. So, Rebel Wilson's character, Natalie, the film starts off when she's young, at 12 years. She's 12 years. And then obviously it jumps forward to when she's
older.
Yeah. So, when it flashes forward 25 years to the present, that means that Natalie would be 37 years old, which is exactly how old Rebel Wilson was during filming, which I thought was so cool. Because generally, the actor and the character they're playing's age doesn't fit. Often when people are in high school, they're way older than high school age.
I'm 15 years old.
But they look 23. You're just like, you have very old people in high school in America.
No, you're not.
That's what it seems. So I just thought it was really cool that they actually got the...
How
age?
37.
So the character and Rebel Wilson at the time was 37.
Wow.
Yeah. And then just a couple of films, romantic films that Isn't It Romantic spoofs includes, in other words, that they actually brought in like concepts from, was obviously Pretty Woman. I mean, they even show a scene from Pretty Woman in the beginning of the film on the TV. That's the romantic comedy she's watching. 13 Going on 30, which had Mark Ruffalo and Jennifer Garner in it. That was still the, remember when we did the Adam Project? It was the second time that those two had acted as love interests. Yep.
Yeah.
How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. That was with Matthew McConaughey and not Reese Witherspoon.
McConaughey? Hey?
Blonde actress, yes. Always in romantic, Kate Hudson.
Yeah.
And then Maid of Honor and I Feel Pretty. So all of those were used. Yeah. And then at 11 minutes, 6 seconds running time of the film, Josh says to Natalie, have you seen Notting Hill or 13 Going on 30? Todd Garner produced both this and 13 Going on 30 as well. This Isn't It Romantic spoofs 13 Going on 30. So the producer of 13 Going on 30 literally created a film where he ripped off a previous film that he'd made.
Oh.
Basically, that's what he did.
Oh, there you go.
Cool, right?
Yeah. Sure.
And then the reason that Josh is the only person, so Josh is the character played by Adam Devine.
That's right. Yep. Yeah.
So the reason that he's the only person that remains the same in both worlds, so everyone else like changed when they got to the new world.
Yeah. Yep. She almost thought that he would. Yep,
he wouldn't be the same.
Yeah.
But he was the same. And the reason for this is because Natalie subconsciously perceives him to be perfect, but hasn't realized it's on a conscious level. When she begins to realize she loves him, that's when she begins to notice the flaws in Blake, which is the Liam Hemsworth character. So at first he's like, Liam Hemsworth is like the ultimate dude, you know. And she still thinks she has to make him fall in love with her and then she'll get out of the romantic comedy world. But then when she realizes that she's actually in love with Josh, that's when she sees the flaws in play. Remember, he starts telling her they need to change her name. He steals her architecture ideas.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Yeah. And then Todd Strauss says he actually describes this as a romantic comedy about falling in love with yourself.
Right.
Because that's actually what happened.
That
was the cool part about the film.
That's kind of the punchline.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Definitely. When I was looking at the film, the first thing I looked at was the parental guide, just to see how, you know, am I watching it with my kids? You know, would it be fine for their ears? And I know that in the beginning, when I started reading, there was someone who basically gave a, like, the, whatever you want to call it, the
rating, synopsis,
the
experience,
the
overall
message,
okay,
in the film. Yes,
there we go.
And the first line I read, which ruined it for me, was, which I knew the ending was going to happen, that was going to happen, was, you know, is just to love you yourself.
See, I didn't. I literally remember seeing the trailer like years ago, and then we were like surfing for a movie on Netflix, which is one of the worst things to do. The anxiety that comes when having to choose a movie on Netflix is horrible. Because you're like, is it going to be good?
Yeah.
Is it not going to be good? Like, I hate that.
It's a difficult thing to do.
And then you're like scrolling and you're like, nah.
I hate being there.
Yeah, it's the so worst thing in the world. Like, same. Literally. So, like, we were doing that and then found this one. Was like, okay, cool, let's watch it. And then we watched it and we were just finished by all of, like, the rip-offs of romantic comedies. And then in the end, it was like, oh, that's a nice way to end it. Because, like, you have the, okay, she's going to make him fall in love with her. Or, you know, when she, spoiler alert, runs and stops the wedding.
Yeah.
Like, and then she leaves and you're like, what?
Yeah.
Like, that was
and
cool.
The way you see, that was the unpredictability of the film that I enjoyed.
And for me, what was the best part, this was like the best part of the whole film, was, you know, in the beginning, she thinks Josh is looking out the window at
Isabella.
Yeah, the chick on the she's basically like in a bikini on a billboard. And she's like, oh, seriously, like, he's such a pervert. He can't even like go 1 second without like looking at the billboard. But then at the end of the film, he shows her that
you're like, no, sit here.
Yes, he can see her reflection in the mirror. He doesn't even see the billboard. He sees her reflection. I was like, oh. That was a nice way. They did that nicely. That was very good.
Yeah.
So it's a brilliant film. It's a PG film. They really kept it PG, which I actually like the fact that they did that, because like, especially because with this type of film, you could go very dirty. Mm. Like, I know Rebel Wilson's now acted in a film called Senior Year. I haven't watched it because it looks very dirty. Yeah. So I'm like, and Rebel Wilson, she's funny, but she can go.
Her mouth can run away.
Yeah, and you're just like, what?
With the language in it. Yeah. But in this film,
it's a good film. Honestly, it's one of the best films I've watched with her.
I know when I looked at the parental guide, there's like two or three times when the F word was used.
Really?
At the end.
Wait.
When she could swear.
Oh, yes.
It came flying out. She's like, yes, finally. No, and it wasn't finally.
You know, the F word. You know what was funny also was when she woke up and the good looking doctor came in.
Oh,
and
yes.
Then she was like, no! And then the old man came. The he's nurse. Like, sorry, they're doing an episode for what? Some for medical. Wada. Ah, it was
and
funny.
Then, and then it's like the bald doctor.
And then she rips the drip out and her blood goes spurting because in the romantic world, it didn't.
Yeah, it doesn't really happen.
Yeah, no,
it's very good.
It was done very well.
It was a very good. It was an enjoyable film. So I would even say for those who are film lovers who are looking for like deep films or films that are with good stories in that, this is also a very good film. Yeah, because it's, you know, it's difficult. Like I was thinking now about what you were saying when you were movie surfing, and if I looked at this cover, I would probably immediately just be like,
Nah, romantic comedy. Yeah. Next.
Nah, I can see this. And even with her.
But you know what's odd about the cover, actually, is it's only her on it. Normally, romantic comedies have
the
girl
guy and
the
girl.
Yes.
Somewhere there.
Yes. This one just has her on it, which is odd for romantic comedies because it's never about one person. It's always about a love interest. So that is, I suppose, maybe that's like.
Well, there you go now.
No, but
there's a cover. It's got both of the guys in there. That makes a lot. And especially if I saw Liam now. In fact, I'm looking at this cover. And okay, if you had to guess what the movie's about, what would you say?
I'd say she's got two guys that she's in love with, and she needs to choose. Well, I don't know, one.
For me, it looks like it's the guy that she's in love with, which is Liam
Hemsworth.
I was gonna say Neeson. Liam Neeson. Hemsworth. And meanwhile, she finds out that the guy on the other side, the dorky guy,
is the guy she gets with.
Is the actual guy that she realizes, I've always loved you. Always. You've always been there.
Which is, spoiler alert, it is what happened, but not in that way.
Yeah, just in a completely unexpected way.
Yeah.
Because especially if she's in a romantic movie, she's just like, never mind. Never mind. Continue. I'm like, no, don't leave him. And she runs out. And then the whole message of the movie breaks out. But the dance at the end credits was, it looked like they were having so much fun.
Yeah, it did. And apparently because they were obviously filming around location in New York City.
Yeah.
And it was often out on the street. So they'd often have a lot of like people standing around just out of the camera shot, like taking photos, like quite close actually, taking photos and doing all of that.
I was thinking to myself at the end with them just dancing there on the block of New York. I was just like, I'm sure they've paid a couple million to close off this block.
Yeah.
Like one or two or three, four blocks. And yeah, they were just goofing around.
But it must be quite common. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, especially because there's so many romantic comedies that happen in New York City.
No,
like, it must
true.
Be a common thing for them to be like, oh, look, they're filming a romantic comedy.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, how many films have Central Park in them? Mm. How, like, we know Central Park because of romantic movies.
Yeah. Are they filming a big movie again? We need to get to work. These people are just...
filming.
For us, it's like, what's... Apparently, they're filming, yeah. Like, wow.
I did see there was one... So, you know the scene where he takes her on the date and they're walking and then she trips over nothing and then they kiss in the rain?
Oh, that's right.
That scene, they actually had a big green screen up... So their whole street background wasn't... That was a set extension.
Oh, yes. And the only CG in this film is set extensions.
Set extensions, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like they do set extensions quite often.
Oh, yeah. Okay. But it really is... Honestly, it's way better than The Lost City. Like, even I felt like last week's movie show, we like spoke and we were like, yo, no, Ryan Reynolds should have beaten it. Okay, yeah, no. And then it was like... And it wasn't just because my voice was gone. Like, we literally were like... Yeah, okay. It was like a 24-minute show.
It
was probably our shortest show ever.
It needed him. No offense to
Channing Tatum.
Yes.
No, it needed Ryan Reynolds, and maybe it needed Brad Pitt to stay alive.
Yes,
should have come back.
He came back to life. So
honestly, the best part of the film was when Brad Pitt was there,
right at the end.
No, in the beginning. Yeah, beginning, right in the beginning.
Beginning and right at the end, yes.
I was still so shocked when they brought him in, because I was like, it can't be. They couldn't have brought in Brad Pitt so soon. It's only the beginning of the movie, and then they had. I was like, oh, okay. Right. Yeah. No, but I watched this movie a second time for the movie show and thoroughly enjoyed it a second time.
Was there anything that you spotted that you'd never spotted before? Oh, look there. There you go. There's a shot of the green screen.
I don't think so. Yeah.
So it was just the normal.
Yeah. Okay. That was really cool.
It was very cool. Feel good movie. So, next.
Next week, we have an animated movie that has been requested.
Yay.
To us. So, join us. Apparently, yeah, I think he said it's funny. It's another Active FM DJ, DJ Moise. He was like, I want you and Ryan to watch this movie. I was like, okay. And then he still sent me it. I'd forgotten about it. He still sent it to me. I was like, oh yeah. At first I was like, what is he sending me? And then I was like, oh yeah, he wants me to watch this movie. So I will pass it on to Ryan.
Is it Pixar?
It is. I don't know actually.
DreamWorks?
No, I don't think so. I will tell you it is. I'm just going to my archive chats. It is DreamWorks, The Bad Guys.
The Bad Guys.
The Bad Guys.
Okay, that Mr. Wolf, it looks
good. Is no fun at all, Mr. Wolf. Yeah, okay.
Looks good. DreamWorks is awesome with their animation. I'm sure they were it was Pixar that did the last animated
Coco.
Film that we did, yes.
But DreamWorks is good. Didn't DreamWorks do Road to El Dorado? I love that film.
I grew up
with that film.
I watched other films that they were really good at.
DreamWorks did Shrek. How to Train Your Dragon was a very good one.
There you go.
Madagascar. I didn't like Trolls, personally. I know many people would shoot me. Megamind! DreamWorks is brilliant. They did Megamind. And they did The Croods. And Over the Hedge.
I loved Over the Hedge.
I watched that movie.
We should do Over the Hedge.
No, I watched that movie too many times. I ruined Over the Hedge.
Hammy is my favorite character in Over the Hedge.
Yeah, he is, but I watched it too many times. The Road to El Dorado, they did do Spirit. Okay, DreamWorks makes the best anime. I loved Spirit. That movie, I cried in that movie.
Really?
We watched it in the cinema. I loved horses and I was a child, right? And the horse died. The mom died. No, she didn't. I'm lying. She didn't die. The girlfriend almost died, right?
Nearly died. It's just animated.
Thank
Don't
God
worry.
She didn't. Yeah, they've done a lot. Joseph, King of Dreams, that was also a really cool movie. I like DreamWorks animation style. They do
really?
Like different and they do different animation styles. Think about it. Shrek, Spirit, Boss Baby, The Croods. Like all of those are different. Do you get what I'm saying?
Damn. Pixar, what are you guys doing?
Yeah, DreamWorks. Sinbad, Legend of the Seven Somethings. That's cool.
Yes, something.
Prince of Egypt! Chicken Run! Remember Chicken Run? Okay, yeah. I'm stopping now.
Yeah.
DreamWorks is epic though, people.
We've got our lineup. There it is, right there. We are having the rest of 2022.
DreamWorks. DreamWorks, the movie
We're
show.
Watching all the DreamWorks films.
DreamWorks makes the team work. They should make that their company slogan.
There it is.
Join DreamWorks. We'll make the team work.
You have to pay us if you want that line.
Pun intended.
We want the rights.
Yeah.
No wrongs.
Yeah.
Don't wrong us.
But this has been The Movie Show.
On your favorite ORSPS.
Until next week. Peace out.
Cheers.
Active FM. Radio has never been better.